Hey, it's David Kay, voice of Beast Wars Megatron and TFA Optimus. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Will these infernal setbacks never end?
The revolution begins now!
New Transformers Animated. Can anyone stop the sinister Starscream? Luckily, the city has new protectors, Optimus Prime and the Autobots. They're teaming up to take down the Decepticons and save the city. Transformers Animated. Each September, the actual change time will vary.
Hey, Sari here. This episode of Transformation Animation Podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Transformation Animation Podcast. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day, sir.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. This show, this episode of TAP is dedicated to the memory of Optimus Scourge. Gary Clark, for those of you who may not know him, he was really, really big in the Transformers fandom. He passed away this past week, and a lot of us that knew him, he was on ToyCast in the very beginning. His very first show that I recorded with him was a segment for TFG1 Podcast for the Transformers, the movie episode 16. I think it was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. He passed away Tuesday, but Wednesday morning I saw Randall NG, the guy that does the Transformers BotCon videos with Dr. Smoove. I saw he made a post on Gary's wall saying, you know, I wish you and I had gotten to know each other a little bit better. You will be missed. Rest in peace. And I was like, wait, Gary died? And then I started seeing everybody post all these you know, memories and pictures and everything else. And no one knows how he died. The funeral is this, as of this recording, the funeral is this Sunday, October 2nd. This episode will be released the day after. But it was just one of those things that just really shocks you because, I mean, Gary was one of those guys that he always wanted to put good karma out there. And that's just the way he was. He had been to several BotCons. He met Peter Cullen a couple of times. He actually has, which he used to use for all his profiles, a picture with him and Cullen. And it's just really, really sad that he's gone. Cause it was like one of those things that was just so sudden.
He was a young guy too.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than me, a little bit younger than me.
I think he was like almost mid thirties.
Yeah, he was like 32, 33, something like that.
That's still crazy.
Yeah.
That's almost like when TF Master passed away years ago.
Yeah. You know, and someone, you know, Gary was someone who was, you know, deep in the fandom. I mean, he was everywhere. He didn't just do stuff with us. He did stuff over at TFW. He was on their photo staff. He was on their podcast. You know, he and Lupus Convoy, who is one of his best friends, who was on Secret Origins with me, he and Lupus went to TFCon 09 together, and they had a blast. He'll never be forgotten, but he will be missed.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yep. So, the other things we have to talk about here in the intro this time around, I guess, Steve, what have you been up to? You've been creating stuff for us.
Yes, I've been working on graphics to put to the GCRN stores, which currently are located on Zazzle, which is a very popular location, as well as that other site that I'm looking up right now.
Spreadshirt?
Yes, Spreadshirt, which For those inquiring the difference between the two, Spreadshirt is a little bit cheaper, and they kind of cater to smaller sizes a little bit.
Yep.
Whereas Zazzle is a little bit more pricey, and it's bigger sizes that Spreadshirt doesn't have.
Yeah. Where it gets pricey for t-shirts on Zazzle, if you need like 3, 4, 5, 6X, because I looked at a couple of our shirts on there, and for me, someone who has to wear like a 5X, it's $8 additional, you know, on the price. So that's not bad. I mean, whatever, but hey, you know, at least it's a shirt I can wear from the network, so.
Yeah, and then, so I've added that to the top. I've added the donate thing back in there. We also now have Stitcher Smart Radio, which there'll be an ad for that in here later on, which we're also now partnered with. So, yes, it'll give you more details on that in the ad later. I'm not going to sit there and
go through the whole spiel. Yes,
but there's a link on the site, so check it out.
The other stuff in Zazzle store is very, very cool. You can get all kinds of different mugs. There's different mug variations. You can get stickers that say geekcastradio.com, unleash the geek in you. There's a mouse pad that you can get. So it's not just t-shirts or sweatshirts. It's also other little knickknacks. And, you know, if you're wanting to support us and give your people presents for Christmas, there you go. Michael, what have you been up to?
Still sick.
Still, God.
I, you know, I think I was sick the last time we talked, and that was, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was sick then, and I had a head cold, and I got over that, and the head cold went into my chest, and I think that's basically what I had last week, where I was just, I couldn't talk, as my throat was all scratchy, and I couldn't barely breathe, and it was horrible, and then I got through that, and then I got a really horrible, you know, sore throat because the lymph nodes were swollen in my neck, and I could complain about my ill health all day, but I'm starting to feel better. I'm able to speak now. I can talk. My head doesn't feel like a brick. My chest doesn't feel like a brick. I'm gonna see how long I can go tonight.
Yes. Yeah. So really quick before we move on to the episodes, we, as we said in episode 9, the last episode, we didn't get a chance to listen to Optimus Solo's Cybertronian clip before the episode went to air. So when I was listening back to the episode, I found some stuff that I disagreed with him on. So first one is from A Fistful of Energon. He was saying in that he didn't like, he doesn't like the scene with Prowl and the whole anime power-up thing, kind of like the Power Ranger type scene of the whole power-up thing. And my note was, if you didn't like it with Prowl, you're not going to like a certain scene with Sari in season 3. And there's no spoiler in there, but I'm just saying that
oh, that's when she combines with Optimus Prime.
Shut up! You're not supposed to say it. What?
That's when I was she joking. Becomes a, she doesn't combine with Optimus Prime.
No, yes. She becomes a super midget and combines with Bulkhead's testicles.
Oh! Damn, yes.
What's your location? I'm directly below the Sari.
Yes.
I'm sorry you're down there.
I'm sorry I'm hanging so low.
Wow. And then in SUV, Kevin basically said that I was Nanosec. No, I am not fucking Nanosec, you asshole. He said that because Nanosec was the one that came up with the acronym for the gang name and all that stuff. And then
he's I already said gang Kevin name.
Fair, but Kevin mentioned that he thought it would have been cool to have the two bounty hunters, Swindle and Lockdown, in a bar together. Swindle is not a bounty hunter; he's an arms dealer. But I had already mentioned that to Kevin off air. And then for Auto Boot Camp, he was mentioning that he doesn't mind. He actually likes that they're, you know, making homages to the different characters. But he didn't like Tom Kenny's version of Waspinator or Wasp. And I understand that. I mean, Steve didn't like it either. Obviously, no one can really voice Waspinator other than Scott McNeil. But for, as I said last time, for what Tom Kenny was handled, I think he did it very well. And it's not just them trying to bring in Beast Wars characters. Wasp was his own character before the frame-up. Wasp had no traits of Waspinator at all. Before
so he went crazy, right?
Yeah, before he went crazy.
I think we brought that up during the episode.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty. Yeah, we brought.
It's been three fucking weeks. I don't remember.
I distinctly remember thinking, wouldn't it be cool to have a cutscene with Swindle and Lockdown, you know, exchanging information like in a bar or a strip club or something in space?
Yeah, and that would be cool. But the way Kevin had said it was, he called Swindle a bounty hunter, which Swindle is not.
Oh, well, clearly.
It's an arms dealer.
Yeah, yeah. I can see how their clientele would overlap, though.
Oh, yeah, because you'd be supplying Lockdown with weapons or mods, yeah, so. All right, we are going to get into some episodes today.
I can't believe they just left me here. I'm a vital member of the team. How can they find those construction bots without my key? Now I'm stuck here all alone. Here all alone. No, this is my house, and I'm going to defend it. I'll show them I'm just as tough as they are. Even though I'm talking to a teddy bear.
First up today is Sorry No One's Home. While Prowl and Sorry practice agility skills, Bulkhead comes wandering in to inquire about the source of a dripping sound that is annoying him. He soon tracks down the sound to Bumblebee, who is leaking oil, and Ratchet ends up having to use his magnets to free him from Bulkhead. Optimus, Prowl, and Sari come in, and Prime informs them that Scrapper and Mixmaster have surfaced again. Yeah, I'm going to get to the little clip there in a minute. I get that they want to teach Sari self-defense, but she should not be taught self-defense from a giant machine that could kill her.
I don't think he's so much like jumping and pouncing on her, and you know, I think he's putting her through an obstacle course, which she tries, you know, unsuccessfully throughout the episode to master.
Yes. Total overusage of the key to commence. I don't make a lot of keynotes, but...
What?
Total overusage. I can't believe you're not picking up on this.
She used it once to open the goodie bag, or to, you know, the vending machine, to get all the candy out.
And she used it three different times on three different vending machines. And how the hell do they have vending machines in there? Seriously, how do the Autobots have vending machines in their base? I mean, seriously, what is this, a car wash?
Well, they don't have a pantry. I mean, they got to keep their food somewhere, right? They're not going to feed her live rabbits every day.
Wait. Don't you mean dead Petro rabbits?
In the one episode where they were trying to figure out what she eats, she actually had a rabbit jumping across the table.
I know, yeah. There was probably a live petrol rabbit. They probably deep fried it.
It's a little obscure, don't you think?
No, it's a G1 reference. Yeah. Speaking of G1, this whole time that she was doing all this fun stuff, I could have sworn. Now, I'm going to have to ask Derek or Marty or somebody that was working on the series if this was true. Was it just me or was she humming the G1 theme?
She was.
Okay. I thought I was going crazy.
Or it's either the G1 theme or the Transformers animated theme very slowly.
Could be. And my final note, because I did not spend a lot of time on this episode. Turn this episode off and watch Home Alone. It's funnier.
Oh, no, it's not. I hate Macaulay Culkin. I just don't like it. If Sari had slapped her face and went, I would have turned it off. This is it, no more, you know. But they did have, you know, kind of like the Joe Pesci character come in.
Well, that's because I mean Mix and Scrapper are basically Pesci and Daniel Stern's characters. They're basically Harry and Marv,
essentially.
Because this episode is a parody of Home Alone,
right? Because of course when two palookas bust into your house to steal stuff, the first thing you do as a little kid is set up a level elaborate traps to punish them.
I still love the first two Home Alone movies. I don't care what anybody says. I grew up watching them, so I was 10 years old when the first one came out, so leave me alone. I liked it. It was funny.
Sigh.
Les sigh. Les
sigh.
Steve. Oh, God. Steve's going to really hate this one because it's all sorry. So, Steve, let the hatred begin. Steve, wake up.
My microphone is on mute.
I hate it when that happens.
So you pulled a Wilson.
Well, yes. At least you weren't like belching and farting when you thought it was on mute, you know.
Yeah. I did chuckle, but more so a cackle, but whatever. Yes, this definitely had vibes of Home Alone in it with Gigantor robots. While I don't care for Macaulay Culkin, I like the Home Alone movies better than I like this episode. Because, one, it has time to actually set up these particular traps, whereas Sari is like, how can I do this? And then she just sets up a bunch of traps that she literally has no time for because she's talking to a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And I don't care for the Constructicons at all. While they are humorous, I'll give them that, they are humorous, they're asinine at the same time. I would rather watch them, though, than watch Sari.
Yeah. They're going to get more asinine in Season 3. Oh, my God.
But, yeah. So. I did not. And then Sari wearing, you know, hockey getup and yeah, it was so stupid. And then it takes all the Autobots to not be able to defeat Blitzwing.
I've got a note about that when we respond to Kevin.
Another stupidity bout, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's... I could have done without this episode.
I think this episode, before I let Michael go, I think this episode was a nice kind of not-so-in-your-face action episode... kind of setting up for a Bridge Too Close to, because I mean, a Bridge Too Close two-parter, there's nonstop action in that, and we'll get to that. But I mean, this episode is kind of like, it's kind of like if you look at Justice League, Steve, where you have the two-parter wild cards, you have that Comfort and Joy Christmas episode, which is nice and soft, and then you have Star-Crossed in Season 2. So this is kind of like the bumper, this is kind of like the lull. In the in the episodes to set up for all the action that we're gonna get later.
And by the way, that music, it was More Than Meets the Eye.
I knew it was. That's
just
what I thought.
Just to a different tune, but it was More Than Meets the Eye. And Sparkplug is actually credited here.
Is he?
Yes.
Wait, the dog or the human?
The human.
The human.
Where did he show up? I missed him.
He was driving. Yeah, he was driving the construction vehicle that Bumblebee savagely attacked.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Didn't do any damage to it. He just kind of savagely attacked it.
Right, yeah. So what do you got for Sorry No One Told Michael?
First off, I was wondering, when did they get an Autobot symbol on the floor?
Maybe Bulkhead painted it there.
They had a local contractor come in.
Our secret base needs a giant Autobot insignia on the floor. This is the first time I saw it, but I know that it comes into play later on down the road, but I was like, wow, that is cool. When did they put that there?
That's so the Decepticons know whose base it is.
Exactly.
Welcome.
When you're flying through the air, you know, you look down through the broken skylights and see the huge Autobot logo, you'll know this is where they live. Bumblebee is bleeding from the wrists. Don't do it, Bumblebee!
I have so much to live for!
Exactly.
I can't take it anymore!
I just can't take it! Just bleed! Drip, drip, drip. Yeah, it's like, somebody get the kid a Band-Aid. He's just bleeding everywhere. But, it leads me to my next point is, you know, if Bumblebee is throbbing oil, I mean, it's just pouring out of him as he drives down the street. Is oil still a metaphor for poop? Could get the oil changed. Is he just pooping as he drives down the road? I mean,
poop.
Is it like duty man?
I am Captain Crapper.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, because at first I'm thinking he's bleeding. It's blood, you know. But if it's blood, then the Constructicons are vampires. Because they drink oil by the gallon. Or, you know, by the 55-gallon drum. And it just seems kind of strange because they're not eating poop, I'm assuming. They're drinking blood, and that's... It doesn't make any sense.
My anus is bleeding!
Yeah, they don't sparkle. The Constructicons. That's sparkle.
God.
Bumblebee!
They do change color, which is kind of cool, but that's a little bit later. But no sparkle.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, smokescreen or giant fart?
Vaporize.
That came out as a horrible bullet point statement. There's a scene where Mixmaster lets out a smokescreen, kinda, and it looks like he let out a huge fart. I thought it was funny.
It's a silent but deadly.
It's
practiced and perfect.
I'm trying to remember, what was the episode before where Prime tells Sari that she can't tag along?
There's probably numerous ones.
There's at least one where he's like, no, you stay behind because you're too tiny. And she's like, screw you, man, I hate you. And then at the end, he ends up apologizing.
No, it was a season one finale, Megatron Rising, because that was when they took the key away from her.
Okay.
They were saying that she was too small, that she wasn't responsible enough, and she was too small to take care of the key.
Yeah, and then by the end, he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And this is just a rehash of that. You're too little! And then by the end, he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, you know, grow a backhoe, Prime. You know, tell her, look, you know, you're still too damn small. I don't care what she did. It just didn't make much sense to me because the Constructicons are, you know, they're just being dopey Constructicons.
Yeah.
And they just happen to tumble into Prowl's obstacle course.
Yeah.
And it's not as if, I mean, Sari's not really doing anything to them. I mean, she snaps a hockey stick over one of them, over his ankle or something, and they kind of look at her like, what was that? What was that? But then they stumble into, you know, this obstacle course, and finally, you know, they get hammered. And yeah. I was expecting her to say something like, give up, or are you thirsty for more? You know, which A, would have tied directly into Home Alone, and B, you know, would have doubled as like an oil joke.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, that's the whole wrong movie. I'm just wrong. And in the end, you know, Sari clears the conveyor belt obstacle course.
Yep.
She actually pulls it off. So it's like, haha, I am ready to face down Constructicons. But not in reality, no, she's really not. So yeah, that was it for me. I kind of feel as if this episode was just a huge throwaway. It is. Yeah, I don't really feel that Sari needed justification. I mean, we've already put her down once and said, no, you're too little, and then had to apologize at the end. We really don't need to do that all over again.
Oh, that's a running gag throughout the entire series, especially when, a few scenes happen in season three, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, we get to that.
That's too. A gag that will never stop. I mean, that's just a crutch of the series.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There was a... one last point. I'm sorry. There was a commercial break, basically. But just before that, Blitzwing picks up two tanker trucks and basically launches them toward the Autobots. And there's a scene... Again, just before this commercial break where it fades to black, but there's a scene where they're all kind of standing there in the road and the shadows from the two trucks are kind of getting larger and larger and kind of converging over them. And Prowl looks up and goes, uh-oh. I thought that was awesome. That might have been my favorite scene in the whole thing.
Yeah. That was kind of awesome. So we are going to be moving on.
I will use this space bridge to transport my Decepticons into the heart of Cybertron and take over the entire space bridge network.
Ha! You actually believe that ridiculous thing will work?
From there, it will be a simple matter to transport all Decepticon forces onto a virtually defenseless Cybertron and take over the entire planet. And I have your expert space bridge technician to thank for it.
I still don't understand where this expertise came from.
I had a lot of time to study space bridge schematics back on the Energon farm. Just had a knack for them, I guess.
Oh, well, that's great. So the one thing you're good at is gonna hand Cybertron over to the Decepticons.
Don't get your circuits in a bunch. The space bridge is useless without a receiving code. And for that, Megatron, we'd need to have somebody already on Cybertron.
Don't you remember anything? The transmission I picked up? Wasp? The Decepticon spy I caught back in boot camp?
You mean the spy we caught in boot camp, don't you, Bumblebee?
How do you know my name?
Surely you recognize your old pal, Long Arm.
So, Wasp wasn't a double agent? Which means...
You sent an innocent bot to the stockade.
Decepticons, prepare for our conquest of Cybertron.
What's a Cybertron?
I have no idea. He lost me at your fate is sealed now.
But first, we need to test the space bridge, just in case our Autobot expert decided to sabotage it.
And I will be waiting for the test subject on this side, just in case he didn't sabotage it.
And finally up today is a bridge too close. This is the two-part season finale. The way we're going to do this is we're going to talk about part one, and then we're going to talk about part two. And in part one... In his plan to take over Cybertron, Megatron captures Bulkhead after Shockwave mentions that he is a top space bridge engineer. With the threat of using the confiscated headmaster unit on him and the construction insistence, Bulkhead is forced to help the Autobots plan a rescue party and discover that the blue race car from Velocity is actually an Autobot Elite Guard member called Blur.
Well, no way. Duh.
The episode takes its title from the 1974 novel A Bridge Too Far, which was later adapted into a motion picture in 1977. Decepticon branding. What a cruel way to apply a Decepticon symbol.
It's like a hazing ritual.
I know!
It's interesting to hear the Decepticon creed, though, while they're...
Yeah, oh yeah.
He makes them recite it before he tortures them.
Yeah, exactly. I actually have, from one of the quotes later in the episode, I have, surrender is not an option. So that'll be in the audio quotes later.
Just wait until the oil runs out.
Oh, God. Well, once you go Decepticon, you can never go back. I mean, we learned that in G1. Mm. Once Megatron fucks with your programming, you're screwed. Well, unless you're Silverbolt. But anyway. Or Waspinator. Anyway. Again, my note from last time. Yes, the Starscream clones are each of his personality. However, they are all also repaints to homage the other Seekers.
Right.
Because you have the blue one is Thundercracker, the purple one's Skywarp. The white one's Ramjet. The orange one's Sunstorm.
There's a female.
Yeah, Slipstream. That's
she's her own.
Yeah, she's her own thing.
She's new. But I don't think that...
She's extremely new. What were you going to say? It's
completely different. I don't think that these colors or these personality traits were any of the first... Or any of these were of the first two that we met that... were subsequently blown up.
Skywarp is the same. Because Skywarp and Sunstorm...
He wasn't those colors, though.
No. Yeah, right. He wasn't those exact colors. But the personality is the same. He is the Fraidy Cat.
because when we saw him earlier with Ramjet, he was afraid of Lockdown and Prowl. He's like, no, please don't hurt me. And that's the same thing you have here with this version. And it is, in this version is Skywarp, because it is his colors.
So we have the liar, the egomaniac, the coward, the suck-up, and the female.
How far to me did you come from? You don't want to know.
I kind of want to know.
I think everybody wanted to know.
It's the part of Starscream that likes to dress up as a girl.
Oh, God. Drag queen Starscream.
He's a cross-dresser.
Yeah, now we've created a whole new, you know, arm of fan art out there.
Arm of fan art and fan fiction. Oh, my God.
Well, Starscream's no longer the one that the chicks hang all over. Now he hangs with the chicks. Never mind.
Whoa. Never mind. Yeah.
He hangs low to the flow.
Bulkhead, the space bridge tech, are you serious?
He's an expert at anything?
Oh my God. And yay, Blur. I was so... Oh God. As soon as Blur transformed and as soon as the words started coming out of his mouth, I instantly, like, I didn't even have to look it up. I knew it was John Machida. There's just no mistaking John Machida.
Yeah, there's more, I want to say, like a reverb to his voice, like a mechanical reverb, than there was originally in G1. But you can still tell it's him, or at least infer that it's him.
Well, it is him. He's in the credits. I mean, there's no...
Yeah. Well, you know, for some reason, when I first heard that John Machida was doing it, my first thought was, he's still alive?
That was my first thought, too.
Yeah, because he's never done anything. I mean, you'd think that a guy with a voice, not just a noticeable, recognizable voice, but that he can do what he does. You'd think he would have worked pretty consistently over the years.
Maybe he went into auction hunting.
Maybe. He's an auctioneer.
That's it.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing for 30 odd years, but then suddenly he comes back to play Blur again.
It's so awesome.
I actually like this Blur better.
I'm going to find a way. I don't know if it'll be in the beginning of this episode. I don't know if it'll be at the end, but I actually spliced the entire conversation. Everything Blur said in the episode, I spliced it all together into one clip, and I'm going to find a way to fit it in here somewhere, because it's just amazing.
Okay. And it all happens in a space of, like, 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Every word. I watched this with Aiden, and he was watching Blur, and he says, he talks a lot. I said, well, he talks really fast. That's what he does. And he goes, yeah, I guess he does talk fast. That's funny.
Please, please, let this be the last time Picasso Head does the painting bullshit. Oh my God. Bulkhead and his fucking art. Oh God.
He's the one that painted the big Autobot insignia on the floor.
I guess, but...
Yeah.
The only stock transformation scene, like the... When I say stock, I don't mean the whirly transform up, transform down, but the only stock, like, background transformation scene I like is Megatron's. I don't care to see any of the other stock transformation scenes except his for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it has a purple background, but I don't know.
All 2 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bulkhead's gone, dude. He's just gone. Bumblebee's like, Bulkhead, where are you?
He's testing out the towing capacity of the fully wit-laden Swallow.
Exactly. The name's not Zippy.
Zippy!
I don't think I've even known a bot named Zippy.
You won't be able to do it justice. Just play it back at the quotes.
I know. I wasn't trying to do it justice. And just like after they have that whole scene and the Autobots go out and are looking for Bulkhead, so much action. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. That was my only note about the action scenes is that there's just so much. And then at the end, Starscream is attacking, and that's where part one really ends. Is Starscream's going to attack Megatron? Steve, what did you think of part one?
Part one wasn't too bad, actually. I like the fact that they got the bridge started. I think that it's kind of hilarious that Bulkhead's supposed to be this genius with the space bridge. He doesn't seem like he could screw in a light bulb properly. I like how Megatron brands the new Decepticons or the Constructicons.
Yeah.
Just because it's... I mean, that's something they did in, like, G1, and then they... for, like, Skyfire, and then they did it in the Unicron Trilogy, too. Except it was more brutal how they did it in the Unicron Trilogy. But, I like that. And then, as far as Starscream... with his chick version, I believe that fits the definition of something we did in Beast Unleashed, bot hole bag. So yeah, that actually has a fitting spot. I like how Megatron at some point later on decides to be an ass and just ties Sumdak like he's a chest ornament.
Well, he had to do that. I mean, what was he going to do? When he transformed and they put Sumdak inside his cockpit, he was sitting in there. But, I mean, what's he going to do once he transforms back into robot mode? And the thing about that is, Sarge was like, no, that's my dad. He's alive. Don't shoot.
It's the human shield.
Well, technically, he could have been still inside the cockpit. It's only on his back.
That's true.
It reminded me of
Megatron's Max. You're not killing me, buddy. I have this special protection armor on my chest. It's Autobot proof.
There's a gimp tied to my hood.
Oh my god.
I got a hood ornament and it was real cheap.
That's what they did in Mad Max. They tie the gimp to the hood. Connecting the dots here, but
no, I know, that's fine. What else, Steve?
Like I said, overall, pretty enjoyable. I think it's funny how Starscream kind of just, you know, makes his entrance in there with all of his little clones and decides to have his own faction attacking Megatron. It's like World War II here, fighting three front war.
Yeah, I mean, the battle scenes in this are just amazing. I mean, they just are. I mean, and it's not even battle scenes like the ones that Kevin doesn't like, where it's super hyper time anime battle scenes. It's just regular beat down, drag out battle scenes, and they're just great.
I do like this scene, or this quote. Starscream says, I must be a bigger pain in the gear shaft than I thought. And then she says, well, look who just got to the party. And he says, don't start with me, woman.
What? Who's starting? What am I starting?
I think that's a recurring line.
Yeah. Oh, God. The two of them argue all throughout the two-parter.
like an old married couple.
Yep. Anything else for part one, Steve?
Nope.
Michael, what do you got?
Well, you know, this episode was mainly just a lot of action.
Yep.
Aside from Bulkhead painting, but mostly just straight action. But the thing that I noticed the most was the fact that in this episode, they tied in all of the loose plot threads from season two.
Yep.
So it's like, it's almost like they made a list of all the loose plot threads and then kind of mixed them all up into a cohesive whole and made an episode out of it. I'll go down the list. We have the Constructicons helping Megatron, which, you know, it's like, hey, where'd they go? You know, they just walk off into the sunset. No one knows what happens to them. And here they explain, oh, this is what happened to them. And now they're helping Megatron. We tie in Megatron's space bridge. Megatron had this space bridge he wants to build. It's coming together nicely under, you know, SimDeck. And that was the last we heard of it. What happened to the space bridge? Speaking of SimDeck, we have SimDeck's disappearance. And he's been held by Megatron. But, you know, Sari doesn't know that. The Autobots don't know that.
Yeah.
And that's revealed here.
We knew it as the audience, though.
Oh, we knew, but yeah, Sari didn't know. And it was a big reveal for her. She's like, oh, my dad is strapped to your chest like a gimp, you know. then there's...
My hood ornament.
He smells like a pine tree. And then there's Starscream's clones. We were introduced to them. Two of them were blown up. We knew he had a whole bunch more, but we didn't know what he was going to do with them. And now here they are flying around going, ha-ha.
Yeah.
We have Bulkhead's ambition of being a space bridge engineer. You know, it's like he went to boot camp, tying in boot camp. You know, we knew that that's what he wanted to do, but we didn't know that he was the best in the world, which is really cool. I mean, honestly, if that's your life's dream to be a space bridge engineer, then, you know, to be the best is really kind of neat. That's an accomplishment, right?
I think one of the things is that they did say, I don't know how many other space bridge techs are on Cybertron, and Shockwave does say that the foremost expert in space bridge tech is actually on Earth. And I think what they're kind of going for there is that out of the – obviously, SimDeck only does reverse engineering. He knows nothing about, you know, space bridge travel. Right. So I think that's what they were kind of comparing it to. It's like, SimDeck can't do it. Let's find what Cybertronian can, and it just so happens to be dim-witted starfish.
Exactly. So we have more starfish. We have some more Bulkhead because, you know, Bulkhead was in the art. And, you know, so we tie in the art. The Blue Racer returns, who ends up being Blur, which is kind of cool. The Headmaster unit was another, you know, good chunk of season two. He comes back, or it comes back, I should say.
Yeah, just the unit comes back.
Yeah, not the Headmaster, not Masterson, but and I'll get to that in a second. But Shockwave the traitor, Shockwave being the traitor, that comes back. They mention Wasp in passing.
Yeah.
The whole deal with Sari not wanting to repair the Autobot ship because then they would go away. You know, we bring back repairing the ship.
Yeah.
And then the ship actually flies. Maybe not in this episode, but the next episode. But, you know. So, yeah, they get the ship repaired. So this huge long laundry list of plot threads that came and went, they kind of mix
it
up
nicely.
Yeah, it's like a big jumble of loose ends, but it comes together in such a way that you really want to see how it plays out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the only things that they didn't include that I noticed were the human villains, which, hey, no big loss, right? Masterson wasn't here, even though the headmaster unit was. So, hey, big thumbs up to those from those who don't like human villains. And Swindle was missing, but I'm assuming he's, you know, frozen somewhere in a car lot.
Yeah.
So the human villains and Swindle, they're all in jail. We're not going to worry about them. But they also purposefully left out Black Arachnia and the Dinobots. And, you know, and to me, I'll say I think that was a good call because in the last season finale, they made it a point to, A, run into Black Arachnia, who ended up as like a steed of some sort for Sari, briefly. And then there was Prime took, I want to say, Sentinel and Ultra Magnus to the island to meet the Dinobots.
Yeah.
And then that was it. That was the last you saw of them. So, I mean, they tried to visit these two plot points in the first season finale, and they fizzled out. Nothing happened with them. So I think it was a good move to skip them this time around.
And honestly, there's nothing here for them to do. I mean, because Black Arachnia's whole plot is she wants to purge herself. Right. And that will come again later in season 3 because she continues to want to do that. But as far as the season finale here, what you have to tie up is everything you just mentioned. You have to tie up all the major, major plot points. And let's face it, while the Dinobots are cool characters, while Black Arachnia might be a cool character, their storylines
Nothing for them here.
It has no place here at all.
Yeah. Well, that would have been my argument last time in the last season finale. It's like, why are we even visiting them? and yet, you know, they didn't have anything to do there. And now they didn't have anything to do here either. So it was nice to skip them. But what was really cool is that they managed to bring everything else together.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Bulkhead's art wasn't all that important, but, you know, the Blue Racer, finally getting to see who that is. And, you know, I know in that original episode when they introduced the Blue Racer, you were like, that's Blur. Clearly it's Blur. I didn't know it was Blur. So a lot of things that they, again, follow up with that it was really nice to see them all, all these plot points come to fruition.
Well, I don't really care about Bulkhead's art. I just thought of something why it's important for this episode.
Huh.
Because no one believes that he knows what he's doing. Granted, his art thing is a little whatever, but...
Yeah.
Having it here is kind of like reaffirming that his team doesn't always believe in him, and when it comes later, they should, because he knows what he's talking about when it comes to space bridges.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll buy that.
I don't know. What else you got?
For part one, that's about it. I mean, it's hard to really get too in-depth when it's just a bunch of people beating on each other.
Yeah, I know. So we are going to move into part two right the hell now. In the shocking season finale, the Autobots face off against Megatron and the Decepticons to save Earth and Cybertron. However, Starscream and his clones attack Megatron's hideout. In the climax of the battle, the Autobot ship takes on a robot form called Omega Supreme, after which Sari is revealed to have stuff. We'll talk about that later.
Stuff. It's that time
of
month.
Even an adult. With Bulkhead, brown chicken, wow, wow.
This is wrong. She's still 8. I mean, come on.
For now.
Well, shut up, for another Steve. Couple episodes. Anyway.
Shut up, Steve.
For now.
Well, you know, I left out what it does actually say in the synopsis because
that's a key thing.
That is a key thing for the very end of the episode, so... my first note for this one was, finally, Bumblebee admits he's not the fastest thing on wheels. Finally!
Well, Blur's there.
Well, Blur, you know, it's fucking Blur, but Blur goes through during the battle. He goes through and he executes this, like, super ninja, 2,000 miles an hour. Move with the stasis cuffs.
Don't even get me started on that. That was not a super ninja move. That was called the tornado. And you know what? That's not a move. That's called lazy art.
Oh, come on.
You know, honestly, they could have shown something cool like, you know, Yoda spinning around with a lightsaber, bouncing off everyone's head in circles and landing and ha-ha, and they just drop dead. Blur could pull that off, you know, because he's that fast. But instead, it's a tornado around them, and then he stops and they drop.
And then they roll.
Lazy. Yeah, it's just lazy.
I guess. And so we finally, you know, they've kind of hinted here and there that the ship has a personality or that the ship has some hidden thing, but we haven't, Ratchet kind of hints at it during the other episodes in season 1 and season 2, but it isn't until Omega Supreme is born and
revealed
in this episode. In this episode, in this season, the wonderfully talented Kevin Michael Richardson voices him. So awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Omega Supreme is the coolest thing ever.
In this series, yeah.
So far, yeah. I mean, I wanted a toy. I wanted a Supreme size, you know, Supreme class Omega Supreme toy.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
That would have been extremely obscure for most kids, though.
Omega Supreme?
For most children in this day and age that their parents are teaching them about stuff, possibly.
He's a character in the show at this point.
I know he's a character in the show, but, you know, okay, I'm going to throw Michael under the bus here. You're a perfect example. You teach Aiden Gavin all about Transformers. But say they haven't seen G. Say you haven't shown them G1 yet, and you're showing them animated first.
Right.
And they see Omega Supreme. They're not going to know who. Okay, it's Omega Supreme. He's a giant, super cool robot. That's all they're going to know. They're not going to know the relevance of what he is.
Oh well, you know, I don't teach my kids about G1 either. They're not going to see animated Starscream and go, "Oh, that character was first introduced in 1984." You know, based on a Diaclone mold from 1978. You know, they're not going to know these things. I don't think they care. But, you know, they damn sure do want a toy of animated Starscream because he's that cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my point is, I mean, I own, you know, was it 1986 Omega Supreme, but I don't own a Transformers animated Omega Supreme, and I would really like to. I think that would be awesome.
Yes, yes, it would. I literally... Nearly, and this is a note for Thorzine, for Brad Blankenship, because I literally fell out of my chair. I swear to God, I fell out on the floor, out of my chair, laughing when Megatron said this line. It's better than an army of cheap knockoffs.
It's like Brad's wall. Oh, that's unfair. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But. His wall is awesome, I have to admit. I wish I had a wall like that.
I know Steve doesn't like the humans, and I really don't care when any... I don't really care when Masterson uses the gamer speak, but when Sumdack said it, I thought it was kind of funny.
I thought it was kind of lame. He's like, total ownage noob. The funny part was the line directly after that when Starscream says, "You just cut off my head." I dropped. I thought that was so funny. That was the best use of the headmaster unit ever.
I had actually forgotten when I went back and I watched. I haven't watched season 3 yet for the purposes of this podcast, but when I went back after season 3 ended and I rewatched a couple episodes, I forgot in Transwarped why the Starscream body didn't have a, like, I forgot why he lost his head.
Oh.
And now I remember.
Now I remember.
Was it just me, or when Ramjet, the Ramjet clone, when he walks by and he kicks Starscream's body, it reminds me of Starscream kicking Megatron in TFTM.
Yeah. Well, what shocked me is that, you know, the minute Starscream's head gets cut off, just like that, all the clones defect to Megatron.
Yep, exactly.
They're like, oh, okay then, screw you, buddy.
I love this quote. This is like my favorite quote from random crazy Blitzwing. "Mayday, mayday, let's all dance around the maypole." I don't know why, but every time I hear that line, I just crack up. Space bridge vacuum kind of reminds me of when Donatello inverted the dimensional portal in the 87 Turtles cartoon and sucked the Technodrome into Dimension X.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I was thinking something a little different. I was reminded of, you know, the evil vortex at the end of the Evil Dead 2.
Oh, yeah.
The one where Ash gets sucked up, and then he's like, how do you stop this thing? And it sucks him up, and that's how you end up with the Army of Darkness.
Yeah,
Exactly. But that's what that reminded me of, just this huge vortex sucking up everything.
Yeah. Sorry is a robot. We need to talk.
This is a talk that they should have had at the end of season one.
End of season one. Yep. That's just, exactly where that came from. About
the you're not human.
What? Yeah. and I thought that, like, this is how a cliffhanger should be.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is how a cliffhanger should be. And then they kind of, it doesn't ruin the episode for me, but they kind of, like, leave the mystery away because they pan afterwards to Megatron and Starscream floating through space. Stop staring at me.
That ending was great. That might have been the best ending ever.
So far, it was the best season ending ever of the series. Yeah. Steve. Oh, good, Michael.
I was going to say the banter between Starscream and Megatron at the end. I mean, they get a good 2 minutes just to bicker like old women, you know? And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, stop looking at me. I'm not looking at you. You're ugly. It was just great.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I hate that commercial. Steve, what do you got for this one? For part two?
Well, I like the decapitation. That's, of course, great. The headmaster thing almost made it look like Starscream wearing his crown. If you kind of looked at it just right. When the headmaster jumped on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not looking at it close up, it looks like Starscream wearing his crown.
Right.
I require screenshots.
Go to the wiki. But anyways, I think it's kind of lame how they bring in this monster character of Omega Supreme, and then they're like, goodbye!
Yeah.
they shit-can him right away. It's like, really?
He's on there a whole 5 minutes, and then he sacrifices himself.
He's like, I just woke up. I want to go back to bed, so I'm going to just die. And then
says, this is why you can't have anything nice! And then he disappears.
And now states the time where they cannot list Sari as a human anymore.
Yeah. On the wiki, after this episode, other. They list her as other.
I like this line between Starscream and Megatron, though. It's not like you to hide behind an Autobot, but it's completely like you to hide behind an army of cheap knockoffs.
I know.
It's almost like G1 when Starscream had the clone.
And again, that's why I mentioned Thorazine earlier. That's why I mentioned Brad earlier, because that was the first thing I thought of is the real Transformers toys, like the original Transformers toys versus the knockoff discussion the argument that we always get into.
I love this other quote, though, between Megatron and Starscream. Stop staring at me. No, you stop staring at me. Do you think I actually want to spend the rest of eternity gazing at your unsightly visage? Trust me, your visage is no picnic either, and your face is ugly too.
Is ugly too.
Oh, someone just take me offline now. What do you think I've been trying to do for the last 4 million stellar cycles? It's funny, really, when you think about it. Tragic, but funny. Oh, shut up.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, that was.
It's one of those scenes where I would have wished to have seen that cutscene, but they showed it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. What else you got, Steve?
I'd say it was a pretty good ending for a second season and left you definitely wanting season 3 to come. They kind of brought it up to a high point. And I think this is probably the first two-parter where it's actually gotten come full circle and actually made any damn sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you hated it before this point, it's all uphill from here.
Most definitely. We still have to convince Kevin of that, though. He needs to know. He needs to know. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
Okay. Are you quoting?
Oh, come on! I had to work the Casper thing in there. Jesus Christ!
Almost sounded like you're quoting the Santa Claus.
No, it originally was from Casper. Michael, what do you got for part two?
Not a whole lot. I mean, again, there's only so much you can say about nonstop graphic violence. I loved it. It was great. I mean, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a really nice close. We got to see a lot of the Starscream clones. The liar clone is my favorite.
Yeah, the liar clone is funny as hell.
He says, "I'm not down. I can escape anytime I want to. I just don't want to." I thought he was great. And he's fighting Omega Supreme, and he says, "Hey, look, your stabilizer servo is untied." I love this guy. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, so awesome.
I still don't understand why, you know, Starscream can't just kill Megatron.
Because Starscream is incompetent?
Well, no, I mean, Starscream had a... Well, Starscream and, you know, Starscream's brigade, you know, for lack of a better term, had a pretty good shot at killing Megatron there. I mean, they were all ganged up on him. They had him held down. Starscream had his sword and was like, "Haha, how about this for irony?" You know? But, yeah, Prime actually came in and saved him. And, I forget what the exact quote was, but Megatron said, you know, I wouldn't have expected you to come in and save me.
And Prime says something that he didn't.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm not saving you." And I'm thinking, well, who is he saving? Why is he bothering? Because, you know, honestly, I think that Prime and his crew would have a much better shot defeating Starscream and his clones than they would Megatron. They've already proven that Megatron can beat all their asses hands down. But if Starscream's clones take out Megatron, well, number one, we've now defeated the Hitler of the Transformers animated universe. Number two, we have some already weakened in battle clones that we can easily pick off. So where's the harm?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what the reasoning here is, why they have to save Megatron.
I don't know either.
let him defeat Megatron. Go ahead. That's cool. Yeah,
sure. I think it's because Prime's scared of Starscream since that first episode debut.
Maybe. Well, I think the thing here is they don't want anybody
to have access to the space bridge.
Exactly. I mean, right. It's like, you know, it's like Steve Jobs handing the keys to the kingdom to Bill Gates. Steve doesn't want Bill Gates to have the keys to Apple.
Yeah.
No one should have a space bridge other than the Autobots in this series.
Right, but again, you know, with Megatron out of the way, Megatron has already softened up Starscream and his clones at this point, and we already know that the clones are easy to pick off.
Yeah.
Prowl has taken out Starscream by himself.
Yep.
This wouldn't be that difficult to do. I mean, it's like, oh, well, you're not going to get access to the space bridge either. Okay, fine. You know, boom, you're, you know, there you go. I've toppled your king. Yeah. Checkmate.
Yeah, the only thing missing from the Megatron Starscream banter back and forth throughout the two seasons so far is like when Starscream first came back. And he was attacking Megatron, and then they kept throwing Starscream out, and they kept repeating that, like, wash, rinse, repeat.
Right.
The only thing that's been missing is, this is bad comedy.
This is bad.
It's the only thing missing so far.
Lubrication, Starscream, this is bad sodomy.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, no, I mean, it sounds a lot like Coronation. Yeah. Coronation Starscream. Anyway, yeah, like you said, the cliffhanger than the first finale. The first season finale from season one had no cliffhanger. You had no reason whatsoever to look forward to the next season. And this time around, well, they're sorry with her weird elbow. Her freaky elbow. That she looks tragically hurt to see. I mean, it's the look on her face at the end is like, oh, I feel bad for her. But she's got a freaky robot elbow, so I can't feel too bad for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that,
that's the way she likes it.
Freaky elbow. But, and then lastly, you know, you've got Starscream Megatron out there, and that is, well, at this point, you know, is your last plot point. Your last loose plot end. You've got Sari with her weird elbow, and then you've got Megatron out there, and you know they're not just going to let Megatron float around and die. You know, something's going to happen to him. Unicron's going to come along, or he's going to get Dark Energon stuck in his chest, or he's going to somehow hijack an Omega Supreme. Something's going to happen.
One of these things doesn't belong here.
But all three have happened to some continuity. But I'm just, you know, whenever they strand him out in the middle of nowhere, with or without a Starscream head, something happens to him. They can't just let him go.
Exactly. Well, he is Megatron after all. I mean,
there you go.
You can't just leave the Decepticon leader floating in the deadness of space. All right, so we are going to go to some quotes, some ads, and then we're going to head to Cybertron for Optimus Solo's thoughts on the final three episodes of Season 2.
Deploy your emergency defense mode, codename Omega.
I can't.
Don't give up on me now, Junior. Give him a jolt with your key while I loosen up a few of his joints.
Joints? This ship has joints?
Hang on to something, kid.
I am Omega Supreme.
Transformation Animation Podcast will be back after these messages.
Here is quote number one.
What's the matter with you? You're an excavator, not a golf cart. Grow a backhoe and let's get some oil.
Here's quote number two.
Surrender is not an option.
And quote number three.
I plan to make him an offer he cannot refuse.
Finally, quote number four.
Mayday! Mayday! Let's all dance around the maypole!
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble frenzy, ravage rat bat, eject. Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show, now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Stan Bush here, and I dare you to check out Radio Free Cybertron.
This is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. first online in 1999. Yes, 1999. We've been doing this for a while. We are also the official podcast of TFoomers.com, and quite frankly, we're pretty awesome. So check us out, tfradio.net.
Hey guys, it's your Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo reporting live from Cybertron with this week's episodes of Transformers Animated. We start out with episode 27, the 11th one of the second season, called Sorry, No One's Home, pun on the spelling of the word sorry, haha, written by Todd Casey, who before this wrote a episode called Nature Calls, which wasn't the greatest episode. And he even finds a way to actually reference Nature Calls in this when Sari references the Barnacle Monster, so kudos to you for referencing your other episode, I guess. This episode is absolutely god-awful. I know I sound like a broken record, but the writing in this episode is terrible because it's unbelievable. First of all, why would a Decepticon, Blitzwing, start a fight with five Autobots? Alright, Decepticons are all brash and, you know, the evil villain type characters, but you're not going to start a fight when you're outnumbered 5-1. And why is that battle lasting more than a second? It's not bad enough that they had this as a scene, but then Blitzwing is actually beating all five Autobots. That's unfreaking believable. And then, just about when he's got somebody, you know, he's got Ratchet all hooked up, he's ready to kill somebody or, you know, to take someone captive hostage, and Megatron tells him to disengage. Really? That's lame. Not only is that lame, but as lame as it is that all five Autobots couldn't beat Blitzwing, how about Sari beating both Constructicons on her own? This is just terrible. Every part of this episode is bad. You have Sari beating both Constructicons, you have Blitzwing beating the entire team of Autobots, and then Megatron telling him to stop right before he actually has some. Megatron wouldn't do that. I know Megatron was more looking for, you know, that wasn't his goal, and he wanted the Constructicons, etc., but he would still see, as an evil leader, be like, oh, you have an Autobot on the ropes, let's take advantage of this. He's not stupid, so stop portraying Megatron as stupid. And the other thing that really bugged me about this episode was the use of the phrase, what the front loader? If another freaking cartoon or show substitutes other words for cuss words, I'm going to scream. It's bad enough for all the fracking on Battlestar Galactica and the whiskers on Thundercats. What the front loader? Really? I hate it when people substitute words for cuss words. Either don't use the line at all, or find, you know, some other way to convey your emotions. Other than that, my only nitpicky things, Transformers have taste buds, in case you didn't know that. Bumblebee apparently has a never-ending supply of oil inside him, so he can leak consistently through the entire episode and still have oil to be leaking continuously. Anybody else see the interesting parking lot lines? I've never seen parking lot lines striped off in actual boxes. Usually you just have the two vertical, or not vertical, but the two lines going down the sides of the cars. They actually had boxes. That was interesting. I don't know who came up with that art call. I don't know if that was Derek J. Wyatt or not, but that was kind of odd. But I don't know. This episode was just pretty much terrible, so it gets a 3 out of 10. Let's move on to a much better episode, which is A Bridge Too Close, Part 1 and Part 2, which was written by the first part Marcia Griffin and the second part Marty Eisenberg. So far, Marcia Griffin has given us all solid episodes, and Marty Eisenberg has given us pretty much solid episodes, with the one lone exception being Nanosec. We have a lot of stuff going on in this episode. We have the clones of Starscream, which is probably my only nitpicking problem with this episode, is if we're going to have clones of Starscream, I like the idea. I also like the idea of splitting the personality traits of Starscream amongst the clones. My problem, like I kind of mentioned before, is that they all have the same voice except for the female Starscream. Here's the problem with this. If you're going to have different personalities, and if you're going to have a female being the voice of one of them, then all of them should have had different voices. It's kind of akin to Blitzwing and his different faces and different voices for each person. And they did that right, but then they did it wrong here. Every one of Starscream's clones should have had a different voice. Or at least the same voice actor giving different voices. He uses the exact same voice, and then you throw in a female voice, which defeats the purpose. So if you're going to have that female voice in there, then all of them should have been different. But that's just a minor nitpick. They still are cool, and it's great writing in this episode as far as the dialogue between the different Starscreams in order to display the different personalities. It was very complex in there, and it probably wasn't the easiest thing to do to get all those in there, so that was good writing. Shockwave is excellent, as always. But I guess my only other problem with this episode is Bulkhead being the space bridge scientist. That should have been someone else. They should have been bringing someone in from Cybertron or from space, like, you know, whatever, some other science type bot, you know, like a Wheeljack Perceptor type. I know some of those make appearances, but or it should have been Ratched if it was someone on Earth. Bulkhead should not have been that character. Another thing, you notice when they show his aptitude test, they say he has no other skills, but there were other category bars that were just as far as his space bridge, or almost as far, so that didn't make any sense. The graphic did not fit with the dialogue there. Good to see Blur again. He's easily one of the best characters of the season, and maybe even the series so far, and he does get a lot of dialogue in here, John Machida style, so... that was awesome. Pretty much a decent overall episode for the first part. And then in the second part, you have a few cool lines. This coming from the guy who rebuilt Megatron when Sumdac was giving him a hard time. That was a cool line. Omega Supreme coming to life. I mean, obviously, we've seen the ship, and we've known that it looks exactly like Omega Supreme, so we can kind of predict that he's going to eventually come to life. That was awesome. His voicing was awesome. I really hope that wasn't another one episode come to life and now he is dead type thing. I hope he reappears somewhere now that he's out in space, hopefully somewhere, but I'll have to wait and see for that. My only nitpick of the second part of this two-parter was bringing the headmaster idea back again. Could we overuse this anymore? Can we let the headmaster die? The headmaster little plot line has now showed up in what, 3 episodes? I really hope this is the last time we see that. And then my final thing, which is the only thing that's starting to ruin a really good two-parter, because overall this was a really solid two-part episode. I mean, you had the Constructicons in there again, you had Omega Supreme, you had Shockwave, you had Blur, you know, you had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff, very limited on the humans, so that was good. Very solid episode. I've seen this coming for weeks, and I was hoping I was wrong about it, but the whole Sari being a Transformer or being some type of robot mechanical being is absolutely retarded. Maybe they'll shock me and change my mind as we get through this, but I've been dreading this for weeks, and I was really hoping I was wrong about it, and the fact that they showed her arm as a robotic mechanical type of, you know, object is really depressing. But maybe they'll do something good with it. I've been told that this series just keeps getting better, and now we're done with 2 seasons. So season 3 must be spectacular. So I will hold out hope for season 3. But I do give this two-parter a 7 out of 10. I'm glad we ended season 2 on a high note, and hopefully that can transition into great things in season 3. So back to the guys on Earth.
Now back to Transformation Animation Podcast.
Yes, we are back here on Earth. So thank you to the Cybertronian correspondent for that. As far as Sari, No One's Home, I said in the beginning of the episode that I was going to bring this up at the end here. About Blitzwing and the fact that Blitzwing decimates all 5 Autobots and he's just 1 Decepticon. First of all, Megatron told him, do not engage the Autobots. He disobeyed Megatron's orders.
Right. It's if his Blitzwing crazy side. His crazy side is what made him do it.
Yeah. I mean, Blitzwing was supposed to go get the headmaster unit, I think, is why he was out there. He was supposed to, because I think
No, he was out there looking for the Constructicons.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Right, he said, go get the Constructicons, do not engage the Autobots.
Exactly, and the Autobots see him, and I'm almost thinking that they fired first.
No, they didn't. Bulkhead saw him fly by, right. And Bumblebee says, "Are you sure?" And Bulkhead says, I think so." But no, it was actually Blitzwing saw them, and then he transformed and kind of free fall out of the sky straight at him. You know, but regardless, he did a pretty good job, you know, taking out all the Autobots. I mean, he was doing it one at a time for the most part, but.
That's the thing, though. There are five Autobots. They should be able to take down one Decepticon.
I don't think so. I mean, with the exception of Prowl taking out Starscream by himself on the moon, they really haven't had a whole lot of luck against the Decepticons. Especially not one as big as Blitzwing with his Arnold Schwarzenegger face on. But, you know, Megatron was completely justified in telling him to break off. I don't think it was a sign of weakness. I think it was, you know, reestablishing the orders that he gave him originally.
Right. And that's the point. But what Kevin was saying in the clip was...
It makes Megatron look weak.
No, it makes Blitzwing look weak because you have Blitzwing decimating these five Autobots. Why would Megatron call a retreat? And my answer to that is because of the fact that Blitzwing disobeyed the order.
Right.
He wasn't supposed to engage them in the first place.
Right.
I don't know. Any notes to Kevin for Sorry No One's Home, Steve?
No. Yeah, Steve.
Nope. Nothing.
Okay, Michael.
I had the note about the Blitzwing thing, which is basically what you said. And secondly, Kevin doesn't like it when they cuss. Or more specifically, he doesn't like it when they say, "What the front end loader was that?"
What the front loader?
What the front end loader? And it's not like he's not saying it, you know. And it was funny because I noticed he had mentioned before he didn't like in Battlestar Galactica when they say frack. He doesn't like it when on Thundercats and Lino says whiskers,
mm-hmm.
which I think is funny. And I don't know if it's just the way my brain is wired, but I didn't even hear front end loader. I just heard fuck.
Well, right.
My brain just filled in the blank for me. It didn't even occur to me that they had masked it.
He doesn't actually say front end. He just says, "What the front loader?" I don't think he says end.
Actually, for some reason, I have it written down as front end loader. But I don't know. Maybe he said front loader. Anyway, but what it comes down to is it's an F word. It counts, kinda.
And as far as a bridge too close, I only had two notes for Kevin. He doesn't like Tom Kenny doing Starscream's voice, and he doesn't like that it had to be Tom Kenny doing the voice of the clones. The one thing I will say is that even though it was Tom Kenny doing the same voice, he uses very many different inflections for each clone.
Right. You could easily tell them apart.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't mind at all. But he makes a good point about, you know, the female Starscream. Tom Kenny probably could have pulled off a female Starscream. It would have been funny. It probably wouldn't have been appropriate because eventually, I want to say... that character kind of splits off on her own.
She does split. Well, she's not splitting off on her own. What happens was, and we're kind of getting into season three here. She's just flying along.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not give too much of it away, but
right,
what it comes down to is, yeah, we're going to see a lot more of her, and it's probably better that she has her own voice.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going to hear from her more often than you are any of the other clones.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, because she's... and guess what, Michael?
Yeah?
It's Tara Strong.
Oh, is it?
It's Slipstream, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I knew it was in Cree Summer, but, I mean, it just sounded very screechy. For some reason, I was thinking of, like... one of the Misfits or something, you know, with this horrible screechy voice.
Bringing in the Gem and the Holograms references, wow. I think what they've done here, and you mentioned this earlier with Blur, how John Machida has kind of like a reverb or some sort of robotic thing. I think what they've done here with some of the Transformers is, I hate to say it, but it's the only thing I can think of, vocoding. they've put some, like, to make the voices, because, you know, Tara has a multitude of voices that she can do, but to distinguish from, say, Sari to Slipstream,
yeah,
they probably had to put something behind her voice to distinguish it, maybe? I don't know.
I didn't notice any, like, echoing or reverb to the voice, but I just did notice it. It has a screechy quality.
Right.
And it's almost like she's going through puberty or something.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Any notes for Kevin on Bridge Too Close, Steve?
Nope.
Anything else, Michael, that you want to bring up?
Not specifically.
Okay. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on Transformation Animation Podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can stream us on Stitcher Smart Radio. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TFA Podcast. Mine is TFG1Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Michael?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We have now hit 275 fans. Yay! Woohoo! Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Transformation Animation Podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be doing the Season 2 recap and hopefully Optimus Solo can catch another flight back to Earth. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Michael Wilson
and Steve Megatron Phillips.
We'll tap you again next week unless Michael gets the death illness or something.
I hope not.
It's not like you to hide behind an Autobot, Megatron.
But it's completely like you to hide behind an army of cheap knockoffs.
Transform and roll out.
Never before have I seen a more impressive group of lethal fighting machines. And pretty good looking, if I do say so myself. That pompous bag of bolts Megatron won't know what hit him. He'll be crushed in our wake. Us against Megatron? Are you insane? Huh? I think I just sprang an oil leak. Silence, you fool! Megatron is a worthless pile of scrap metal compared to my genius. Brilliant observation, brilliant. But your genius pales in comparison to the genius of our leader, the original Starscream. Oh, I could listen to this one all day. What are you talking about? I am the original Starscream. Liar. I am the original Starscream. I never said I was the original Starscream. You just did right now. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't.
Oh, haven't you figured it out yet? He's a pathological liar. Each of us clones represents one aspect of your personality. He's a coward. He's an egomaniac. He's a suck-up. He's a liar.
I am not. So, which part of me did you come from?
Don't ask.